Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. Well, good morning. Why don't you have a seat? Welcome to Wellspring. My name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor. We are in the middle of a series that we are calling Family Circus. We're very, very excited about it. And I am very, very excited about today because today I get to teach with my favorite person in the entire world. She's my best friend. And I just think she's fantastic. So help me welcome her to the stage, Danielle Keller.
Thanks, babe. You're my favorite person, too.
Yes.
I'm so excited to be with you guys today and teaching with Trey. I wanted to start off as kind of a funny transition, but I need to know this, okay? Raise your hand if you have a summer birthday. Raise your hand if you're one of those fortunate people who gets to be born in summertime. Okay, good. Awesome. I've been jealous of you my whole life because I am a winter birthday. I'm February. Tell him when your birthday is.
December 31st.
Yeah, you can feel a little pity.
That is the appropriate
there.
Response.
A little pity there, right? I know. It's true. But I asked that because growing up, I was super jealous of people who had birthdays in the summertime because there was so much more you could do. But my parents were amazing, and so what they did to make up for my really sad winter birthday that was really close to Valentine's Day is every year they would take me to the circus for my birthday. We would go eat at the Japanese steakhouse in Columbia where they cook in front of you, and then we would go to the circus. And I can remember one year we parked so that we had to walk into the circus. We had to walk by where all the animals were. And specifically the elephants. And I can remember thinking, oh, that's really terrible. I was probably only like 9. It stunk. It was dirty, dust, all that kind of good stuff, you know. Probably something that didn't really sear into my mind until we brought our third child home from the hospital. And I can remember, like, I think Jacob was probably just a few weeks old. It was a transition for us. We were going from man-to-man defense at home to zone. You know, we were outnumbered, and we had a specific day and night where it was just chaos. I mean, I remember David had run through the house with mud on his feet, and it was like cheap tan carpet, so it wouldn't go away. John, later in the middle of the night, got sick, and he had had red Gatorade that day. Yeah, you can imagine what that was like. And at the same time John was getting sick, Jacob, as a newborn, had one of those diapers. You know, where like baths are required, sheets change, clothes change, all that kind of good stuff. And I remember, middle of the night, I was like, I now live in a circus. And I specifically kind of felt like I was near where the elephants were, right? And our kids have had epic messes for us over the years. In fact, I wanted to show a few pictures for you today. We wanted to show you. This is one of the messes that David got into at one of our Love and Be projects. That is paint.
Yeah, paint.
And that is when our team decided we would have family-friendly Love and Be projects, yeah, and ones where children were not allowed. You can thank David Kelly for that one. Yeah, that took a while to get out. The next one is another picture of David and a buddy. This is at the epic mud pit on a field trip. And not only were they covered in mud and went swimming in mud, it sort of smelled like rotten eggs. So that was really a lot to clean up. And then this next one is one of my favorites. This was our youngest son, Jacob. That would be red lipstick that he trailed through the house. I was gone. Guys, it was a 2-second bathroom trip, 2-minute bathroom trip. I mean, fast. And I came out, and that's what he looked like. So messes is a part of families, for sure. These are cute little messes.
Yeah, so what we want to do today, really for the next 2 weeks, is talk about mess. Because if you've been a part of this series for a while, if you're a guest today, we've been in the series called Family Circus. This is week 6 of that series. And we've been talking about practical principles from God that we think he applies to all family. And we've really been talking about the ideal. Right, God's best, and just painting all these pictures of how great it can be. We've been talking about the ideal. Today, we're going to talk about the real.
Yeah.
Like what actually happens. And specifically, we want to answer a question today. What do we do when our family is messy? What do we do when our family gets messy? And not just the cute, sweet little messes you saw up there. Not the funny messes, not the silly, but real messes, like messes that come from addiction, messes that stem from bad choices, that stem from infidelity, that stem from families being separated, messes that come from mental health issues, like real messes. How do we deal with that? How do we thrive in that? How do we survive in those situations? And I have good news and bad news for you today. The good news is, like, we're going to give you some pretty practical tips today. The bad news is none of them will help unless you take them and do something with them. The way I've been kind of thinking about today is, imagine you've just signed up for a gym, and this is your first consultation with a personal trainer. All right, you're not even working out. You're just sitting in the office, and your personal trainer is going to put together the plan for you, the eating plan, the workout plan, and he's going to say, here's all the things you need to do. You do this 6 months, a year from now, you're going to be in much better shape. All right, today, our goal is to just simply give you some really high-level, clear principles that we promise. If you take them and you put them into action, 6 months, a year from now, things will get better. But these principles in and of themselves, like we've been saying for the entire series, will not solve anything.
That's right.
Because if you went to that gym and you got that great plan, if you didn't go back to that gym on a consistent basis, nothing would happen. And so what we want to do today is just give you some very clear, simple, biblical principles and answers for what to do when you're in the mess. But our hope and our prayer is that you will then take those principles into the personal partnerships we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, into small groups, into smaller environments. You'll take advantage of some of the resources we're going to talk about today, so that you can begin to understand and live these truths out. And we genuinely believe that your life can get better.
Yeah, so what do we do when our family is messy?
I don't know. What do we do?
Number one, we have to realize that we are in good company.
Yes. Everyone in the room, don't raise your hand, but if you're in a mess, if you've been in a mess, if you see a mess coming, just go.
Yeah.
You're in good company. You know why? All families are messy.
Yes.
All of them. There is no such thing as a non-messy family. There's no such thing as a perfect family. All families are either recovering from a mess, in a mess, or barreling towards a mess. Like, that's just the way it works.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I think this happens because we know you're imperfect.
I mean, what?
I know, right? I'm imperfect, you're imperfect. And we're all imperfect people.
Yeah.
Who are
imperfect plus imperfect equals imperfect.
Yeah, in a big mess. And we're put into these families where we all have different personalities. We all have different ways that we think. And we're supposed to all be moving in the same direction at the same time. And what we expect would be in perfect harmony, in peace, right? Well, imperfect people with imperfect circumstances does not always equal peace and harmony. And the way we envision what our family will be down the road. But there will always be some tension.
There will always be a mess. There's always been a mess. If you grew up in church, yes. If you have any background in Christianity, you've ever read any of the New Testament, which is the story of Jesus coming to earth and saving humanity, if you've ever read any of the Old Testament, which is the beginning of our Bible that tells the story of God creating the earth and us choosing to rebel against him, and then him choosing to begin his rescue mission through this one group of people called the nation of Israel. If you've ever read that, it is full of messy families. Messy, messy, messy. We have a story of a brother not liking his other brother and being jealous and murdering him. There are stories of a man and wife being told by God, you're going to have a baby. And rather than trusting God in that, the mom decides, well, I'm too old. So here, why don't you spend some time with my maid? The dad does and gets pregnant, and then the mom abuses the maid. A little while later, we see another family allow their two sons to engage in massive amounts of sibling rival and deceit and betrayal and lies. One of those sons ends up having 12 more sons, 10 of whom take the second youngest and try to murder him, but instead decide to sell him into slavery. Another one of those brothers, when he grows up, ends up spending so much time with ladies of the night that one of his daughter-in-laws tricks him by posing as one of those. And folks, we haven't left the first book of the Bible yet. These are the people they decided to put in the story. So, there's a lot of mess. There's a lot of mess. There's always been mess. There will always be mess. But this is where we can begin to shift our perspective. And this is hopefully where we can begin to build some hope for all of us today. If you're in a mess, if you've been in a mess, if you see a mess coming, rest assured, you're in good company. Everybody has been in a mess before. Every family is messy. And when you begin to realize that, you can begin to shift your perspective for why God even came in the first place, why we do church, why Christianity exists, why all of it, okay? So if you find yourself in a mess, here's my challenge for you today. First, hey, man, you're in good company. And number two, begin to shift your perspective to this. A mess is where a miracle happens. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you don't feel like you're in a miracle. I know you can't even see a miracle coming. But again, the reason we have these stories written down for us and the reason we can read God's word and the reason it's all there is for us to have historical perspective. And if you believe in God, specifically if you believe in Jesus, we can have a historical perspective on this because the history of Jesus is we were in a mess and he came to rescue us. Yeah. He came to set us free. He came to save us. Now, again, if you're here today and you don't believe in God, you're just kind of checking out this thing. Man, we're so honored. We're so thrilled that you're here. And this is still true in your life, whether you believe in God or not. And what we hope is as you spend more time with us and spend more times around our church and testing out the things of God, that you'll begin to discover God is real. And you'll begin to discover that only as he's real, he's really here to help you in your mess. And so that's just kind of part of all this. But the reason I say that is because what can happen is we can start to, when we're in a mess, we can start to feel like we're failing. We start to feel like we're doing something wrong because kind of a mess-free family is the goal, right? Like, I want mess-free. You want mess-free. We all want mess-free. But that's usually not what happens. But when we have the messes, because we want mess-free, we usually have some poor responses that come back because we're trying to get out of the mess.
Yes, it's all about perspective, what you said. That's what it goes back to. You know, if we're going into it and my perspective is all I see is what's going wrong in my family, I expect this. But this is the reality. And the reality tends to weigh us down. And what I know for me when that happens, I get so involved in the trauma, the mess, what's happening, that it takes me over. This is one of the things that I do. And my perspective isn't where it should be when I'm trying to take over the situation. And the other thing that I often do in those situations where there's things going on that I wish could be different, I had a different expectation for, is I also can tend to ignore it. Have you ever just been one of those people who sweep things under the rug? And long as it looks okay on the outside, then we've got it all together, right? But you know, and your family knows, that there is some brokenness there. There are some things there that need to be healed, that need to be better. And our perspective is the real key in this.
Okay, so how do we shift our perspective on the mess? It begins with, we're in good company. Everybody has messes. Number two, it begins with, you know, mess is where a miracle happens. Okay, this has happened. God might could step in here. A miracle could happen here. Number three, miracles require a miracle worker. And let me say some of the most powerful words I've ever said in my life. Ready? You are not one. Let me say that again. You are not one. No one in this room is a miracle worker. None of us are God. None of us have the power to control other people's choices and decisions. None of us have the power to change other people from the inside out. None of us have that power. And so when you're in the middle of a mess, when you can remember a mess requires a miracle and a miracle requires a miracle worker, and guess what? You're not one. That is where freedom can be found.
Yes.
and rest can be found. And the reason I say that is because, again, when you read Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, you see this played out over and over and over again of people finding themselves in situations that either is because of a choice they made or of a choice somebody else made, and they need a miracle. And time after time, what happens is they have to step back and say, okay, I can't fix this, God. I invite you into this moment. And I know it sounds so trite to say invite God into your moment, but again, remember what I said. Today is a high-level answer, just some practical principles. How do you do that? What does that look like in your situation? That's why we want to have partnerships with you. That's why we want to get you in small groups. That's why we want to help you take advantage of some of the resources that we have at your disposal so we can really get personal and help in your situation. But the big level answer for messes is miracles require a miracle worker, and you are not one. And the church got this. Once Jesus dies and he comes back to life and he goes back to heaven and he launches his kind of movement, there were men and women who went out and they started churches and they started ministering other places. One of the most famous of these guys, his name's Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul was probably the most prolific church planner of the very first church. He would go around to all these large cities around the Mediterranean Sea. He would start new churches. He would build them up. He'd make sure they were good, that they could sustain themselves, and he'd leave and go start another church. He would then write those churches letters to give them instructions for what it means to follow God. We believe that God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters, which means we can read them now, and we know what God wants us to do in our life. And Paul had a very special relationship with the church in Corinth. And he wrote them several letters. And in his second letter, or what we call 2 Corinthians, it's actually probably his third letter, but we call it 2 Corinthians. In this letter, Paul talks about this issue because Paul's sharing a story with them about a struggle he had had in his life. He was having a messy situation, a messy struggle, and he had done everything he could think of to fix it, everything he could done to think of to solve it, and he was praying about it, and he begged God to answer him. And here's what he tells us God says to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul says that three times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, this is God. God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Now, what he's saying, hey, Paul, you've got a problem that only I can solve.
Yeah.
And only I'm going to solve. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. He says, I'm inviting you to trust. I'm inviting you to believe that my grace is all you need, that my power, well, it's going to work best in these messes. It's going to work best in these darkest moments. Now, you may well, okay, so what's grace, right? Where he says, my grace is all you need. What God really means when he says, my grace is all you need, is my love is all you need. My gift is all you need, because grace is a gift. And God loves us as a gift. But grace isn't the only gift. In fact, every gift from God can be called grace. Because everything he gives us is for our good. Everything he gives us is for our benefit. His word is a gift to us. His word would be here. When he says, my grace is all you need, he's talking about his word. He's talking about his Holy Spirit. He's talking about his church. He's talking about the blessings of the benefit of being a part of a group of people, some of which are ahead of you on the journey, who maybe have experienced what you've experienced, who have the resources and the expertise to help you figure out the plans and help you figure out what you need to do. What he's saying there is he's saying, hey, you don't have to do this alone. In fact, I never intended for you to do it alone. I've given you this gift of all these people and all these resources and my Holy Spirit and my power. All of it is at your disposal to help you get through this mess. Paul, and through Paul to us, you are not alone.
Yes, I love how you talked about that we are a resource, that some of you in this room today may be saying, I am in a mess, and I need some resources. I need that hope. I need to know what to do about this mess in my life, in my family. And some of you are like, oh, wow, I get to be a resource because I know what that grace looks like in my life. I know what that hope looks like. But I know for me, one of the things that I always like to be careful about whenever I think about this, one of the words in this the scripture, when Paul talks about weakness. I don't like that word when it comes to me living out my life, and especially whenever I'm going to be stepping into a situation where I feel like God's asked me to do that. And maybe some of you in the room today feel that way. When you hear weakness, I don't like that. So what does that make us do? it makes us try to control it. It makes us try to be the one who steps in and says, okay, I can do this in my strength and in my knowledge. I know the right steps to take. And we become, not to overuse these words, teenagers, but obsessed. Like, you guys are really obsessed with the next Starbucks coffee that's coming out, or you're obsessed with the guy's cool beard or whatever it is, you know, that word obsessed, but we can become so obsessed.
I think those references really dated you.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know what the cool ones are.
I don't either. That's my point.
But
they were looking at, they don't drink coffee.
They're like, what? Yeah, they do. There's like a unicorn thing that comes out at Starbucks every now and then where it's like everybody flips out about it, some kind of drink. Anyway, we'll skip that because I'm in the middle of an important point here.
Sorry.
That we become so entangled in the mess part of it, we miss the miracle. We miss that our eyes can be on the miracle. And when family, specifically, that can be so hard because it's often a cycle. It's a cycle where you'll see a miracle happen and you think, yes, it'll never happen again. And then sometimes it comes back around and we need to remember God's grace and his goodness again. And then sometimes it feels like that miracle has happened and it comes back around. And each time it's to remind us that it is not in our strength. It's only in his. I was actually talking to a friend recently who was going through a really, really hard time with their teenager. And I'm not just talking about light things. I'm talking hard places, struggles of depression and feeling like they don't belong and just heartache. And this friend of mine was very transparent to me in how she was presenting the story. She was telling me the real and the raw of what was happening in their family. But every time she said something that was a reality, every time she said something that made her feel weak, she followed it up immediately with a promise from God. Because she walks with God intimately. She knows him. She has a close relationship with Jesus. Every single time she would say, oh, this is a huge struggle for us, but I know God. I know his promises. She was repeating them over and over. And it was such a marker for me of, is that what I sound like? Is that what my words and my thoughts and my life are anchored to? Because in his grace, he gives us the people around him and the resources, but especially his word, especially the word that scream his promises that will never, ever change.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with a lot of the Bible, especially a lot of the New Testament, that's what we're here for. That's why we want to help you. And the guy I was talking about, Paul, in another one of his letters to the church at Rome, he delivers what may be my favorite verse in the entire Bible. And it's
mine
one of
too.
The most powerful promises, specifically for people who are in a mess. Like Danny just said, this is God's grace. This is a gift because this is a promise he's given to us that we can cling to. So kind of as we're kind of shifting this to, you know, miracles need a miracle worker, God promises that if we run to him and we come to him and we trust in him, he will do what we're asking and what we want to do. So in Romans 8:28, this is what Paul says. He's talking to those of us who know God. He says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, despite the size of the mess, despite the cause of the mess, despite the fault of the mess, if you trust him, if you cling to him, if you follow him, he can work good out of it.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be the same good you're looking for. It doesn't mean he's always going to provide the answer you want. That's just not the way it works. God's ways are higher than our ways. But we can trust that in the midst of a mess, that we have an anchor, as she talked about, that we can cling to. We have the grace of his resources that he's provided us. We can be surrounded by people. We can be prayed over by people. We can be encouraged by people. And we can trust in the midst of it that our God is at work, our God is in charge, and our God is working good in the situation. And the way we would encourage you to do that is to begin adopting a new prayer as you walk through messes, as you find yourself moving into messes. And the prayer is this: God, I trust you to turn this mess into a miracle. Because notice what that does. It puts God at the center. And it refocuses your mind and your heart that he, not you, can solve the mess. Mm-hmm. All you can do in the mess is pray and be available and take the steps he asks you to take. Now, as you're praying, if he says, well, number one would be if you stopped doing this, then stop doing that. But the key for all of us is to just simply be able to take whatever step he has and to remember that he, not we, is in charge of all of it. Now, I know in a room this size, there's probably two, kind of break down into two camps today. And camp one are people who you would say you are knee deep in a mess right now. Like you're in the mess, you've been trying to hide it, you've been trying to figure it out, but you're in a mess and you need help. And I just want you to know, man, we love you. Our church is here for you. We want to be God's grace in your life. You do not have to go through this alone. God has blessed our church. He has blessed our church with staff and leaders who have done tons of research, and we have great connections in the community. We have great resources. We have counselors that we've personally vetted that we can recommend you to. We have a group of people you can talk to today who are trained in messes and can point you to the next steps. In fact, a big shift we're kind of making as a church, you know, out in our lobby we have this room that we call the Blue Room, and for a while it was just for first-time guests. And it was just for new people. And it's still for guests, but we're kind of shifting the Blue Room to be a place for you to go for your next step. And so that includes if you're in a mess. That includes if you need help. That includes if you want someone to walk alongside you, whatever you're in. Used to, we would end our services, we'd have our prayer team down front, where our prayer team is going to be in the Blue Room now. And not only are they a prayer team, they're a prayer and care team. They are perfectly, they're equipped, they are trained, and they are perfectly happy to sit and talk with you and counsel with you for as long as you want and to give you some very clear next steps for whatever area, whatever kind of family circumstances, family mess you are in. They want to pray for you, but they also want to help you know, okay, how do I begin taking these truths and put them into practice. We have families next hour and families tonight starting the Parenting Through the Phases environment. Exact same thing. We have people in small groups, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. All these things are designed for you to take what we're learning in here and begin to put it into practice and so that you can see God turn your mess into a miracle. And so if that's you today, man, we just so encourage you to just take that step. Step into God's grace. Step into the gift he's given to you. Now, we know in the group this size, there's probably another group in the room who's sitting there, and you're nodding along. You're like, man, this is good content. This is helpful. I'm so glad other people get to hear this. But quite frankly, we're doing pretty good right now. Things are pretty good. Things are pretty calm. I mean, we got kids, so they're not calm, but they're pretty calm. They're relatively calm. We don't really have a mess right now. And for you today, what we want to encourage you to consider and for you to begin praying about is maybe the gift of grace God's given you to be in a mess-free season. Maybe that's a gift of grace that God wants to give through you to help other people in their mess.
Yeah, the reason, as we kind of move into this part, I want to share a little bit about something that happened to me last fall. For the first time in probably a decade, I found myself last fall in a place where I wasn't here anymore. Y'all all identify with what that looks like in life, right? And I was more like here, you know, both nose and mouth out of the water. It's a phenomenal feeling if you're not there, that freedom. I felt like God had gotten me to a place of freedom and resting in his confidence and his grace. And with that, I also had some things cut off my calendar a bit, and I'm going to be very transparent with you right now and tell you that I sort of liked that extra breathing moments that I had, and I felt like there was a little piece missing from my life, from my heart, but I would not pray about it. Because I know what happens when you say, God, what is the next big thing, the next big step, the next thing you want me to do? You know what happens? Jacob, our youngest child, and Wellspring Church. And while those are amazing blessings in my life, I didn't think I had it in me to do those things again. And so me being very transparent, I was like, God, I'm just going to stay status quo. I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to enjoy this freedom that you've given me right now. And in true God fashion, when he wants to get your attention, he will do it very quickly. And fast forward a few months later, we were sitting around a table talking at breakfast, and I was hearing about a family that had decided to do foster care, which did lead to adoption, and they had young children who had been through so much trauma in their life. Well, I love child psychology. I have my master's degree in early childhood education, so I was leaning into this conversation because I just wanted to be able to give a nugget of hope and truth and help them. I just wanted to help them. And I was listening and leaning in, and I felt God tell me, as clear as could be, what they need is hope. I've given you that hope. You were made to do this. And I went, whoa, this is why I wasn't asking you. Made to do what? Have you seen our grocery bill? Do you know how much laundry I have? You can't mean you want me to be a foster parent. You can't mean that you want us to bring more children into our home right now. And so I did, at least in that moment. I don't know if you've ever had those times where something happens in your life and you just see everything instantly different. I just, I was like, I was looking through different eyes. And I knew I needed to pray about it, and so I did. I committed that week to pray about it, but I didn't say anything. I didn't want to speak the words out loud because I didn't know what was on the other side of it. It was a little scary to me, but that doesn't work well in our marriage. Trey always knows if I'm processing something. And so we'd had a little bit of a rough week, and I had spent time praying about it and talked to a friend, and I finally knew I had to at least say something so we could pray about this process together of what it meant. I didn't know what it meant other than there are people out there who need hope, and God says you have that hope. You have to take it to them. And I was like, okay. So I tell Trey, this is another really raw moment for us. For about 2 minutes, it was the most real conversation you could ever have. I think at some point I said something like, I just want our lives to matter. And you said, is this not enough? Like, it was.
It's like, how much more could they matter? What?
But that was just a small moment, because this man champions anything that if you say God has told you to do it, he says, how are we going to make that work? And we began to pray about that together. And God unfolded through many, many circumstances. You can hear more about this later if you want to, but I can tell the whole story. But many, many, just God-sized movement that he wanted to position our family, but also our church, in the path of families who are experiencing their messiest, messiest moments. And so I'm so pleased to announce that at lightning speed today, we get to share with you a brand new Love and Be initiative that we're calling Fostering Together. And our heart behind this is that we know for some of you today, you're sitting here saying, God has healed me. He has brought me to a place where I am free, and I want to go take that hope and that freedom and that love to families who need to know they can be on the other side of their messiest moments. So I would love for you to check out this video.
Children deserve a safe, loving family. But not every child has that chance. Sometimes family must take on new meaning. And that's why Fostering Together exists. To connect children to a stable, supportive family. But fostering isn't a one-man job or even a one-family job. It begs for a community of people dedicated to nurturing children who have come from difficult circumstances. The Fostering Together community includes foster families, respite families, and mentors. Foster families are full-time guardians of the children. Most of the time, foster families care for the children until they are able to return to their parents. So flexibility and openness are key for foster families. Respite families are usually seen as the aunts and uncles that can babysit or watch the children overnight. Finally, mentors support the foster family in multiple ways. Sometimes that means picking the children up from school, setting up play dates, or simply running errands. While these might seem like small tasks, they can make a huge difference. As a community, we can make a lasting impression on the lives of these children. Together, we have the chance to support and love them. Because a child in need doesn't care where you come from, what stage of life you're in, or how much money you make. They just want to know you care. Every child deserves a chance. We can foster together.
Yeah, we are so excited about what that is going to mean Thank you. We're so excited about what that's going to mean for our community. There are so many people who need to be looked in the eye and said, I know this is a very messy moment for you, but God has better. He wants to work in your life. He loves you where you are, and he knows your purpose. And I can't imagine what that system is like without people like you and like us who have tasted and seen God's grace and his goodness and how he works in our weakness. We're the ones who are supposed to go into those places to tell those families about the hope that we live with every single day. So if you have any interest, if your heart is pounding right now and you're like, oh no, I wasn't asking. We're not asking you to sign up for anything. I just would take that as a prompt that you want to know more. And we're actually going to be having a launch night on March 26th here at 6:30 p.m. If you already have experience with anything with the foster care system, or if you would like to just know more, I just have a few questions. Put down your connection card. Put it. You can open up our app. There's a place there where you can do it. Just let us know that you're interested. We would love to get you more information so that you can help us go into Horry County and love these families the way God loves us.
And let's be clear, if you sign up on a connection card, you're not going to have 12 kids at your house tomorrow. That's just that's what I heard when she said fostering. Like, oh! Here's really the heart behind this movement and the heart that Danielle's bringing to this, and I'm so excited about. This is a broken part of our community. Mm-hmm. This is a messy part of our community. Families are messy. But you know what? They're in good company. And a mess is where a miracle happens. But a miracle requires a miracle worker. We have that miracle worker. So that means we have to go to where the messes are.
That's right.
And whatever that looks like, you heard there's many different opportunities and moments to step into these families' lives, step into these families' messes. One of the biggest differences about fostering together, it's not really a movement for people who are interested in adopting. There's plenty of avenues for that. This fills a gap. This is people who really, you have no interest in adopting a child. You just want to be a champion for that child during their family's mess. Mm-hmm. A champion for the mom or the dad who's going through the mess, who needs to hear, hey, this isn't you. This is just a bad season. We're going to love your child. We're going to support you. We're going to do everything we can because we want to see a miracle happen. Mm-hmm. See, that's what we've experienced as a church. And that's what God began birthing in our hearts, that it's not enough anymore just to do it here. It's not enough just to do family circus here. It's not enough just to do parenting through the phases here. That's not enough. There's a ton of families in Horry County who can't get here. They're in a mess. They need a miracle worker. And so we're going to bring him to them. Mm-hmm. So, as we wrap up part one, next week we are going to continue to talk about this. So I hope you'll come back next week and continue talking about how to move on from the mess. But today, if you're in a mess, if your family's in a mess, you're in good company. And all miracles start as a mess. And your miracle requires a miracle worker, and we would love to partner with you as you take whatever step that looks like to meet him and to allow him to move through us to help you. And for those of us in the room today who would say we're not really in a mess, my prayer today is that God will open our eyes. We'll see that others are, and that maybe he'll spark us to take a step to bring the miracle worker to them. Let me pray. God, we just love you so much. Father, we are so thankful for your son. We are so thankful for the miracle that he's done in our lives. And God, I just pray you open our eyes to the messes in our own families, to the messes in our community. And Father, give us the courage to take a step to bring you into the mess. Either bring you into our own or to bring you into our neighbors. To bring you into our friends, to our family members, to our co-workers, to every family in Horry County that needs your son. We thank you that you are the God of the mess. And no matter the situation, you always have a miracle planned. We love you. We thank you for your son. Give us the courage and strength today to take the step you've designed us to take. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.